6th canto. After Chitraketu met the Supreme Lord, now he encounters a very peculiar, different type of situation in chapter 17. One time my spiritual master was saying, in one of the Bhagavatam classes, he was telling, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the great devotees are all encountering various dangers. And sometimes it appears that even great devotees commit mistakes. Like Bharat Maharaj went to forest, he became diverted by a deer. And it appeared to be like almost like a fall down that he took a body of a deer. Next life. Ajamila was a first class Brahmana. He went to the forest and he fell down. You hear about that. Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord eye to eye. And then when he is posted as a king of Vidyadharas, Vidyadhara Loka, although he is an earthly king, while going on his plane, he encountered a great danger, which was, we will read in this chapter, he was cursed to become a Jiman. After becoming a pure devotee, he had to encounter this type of danger. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj went to forest. He saw the Supreme Lord eye to eye, who is very, very rare to be obtained. He became a pure devotee. He attained the rulership over the Dhruva Loka. And after returning to his kingdom, being showered by flowers, very respectably received, then he got into one very great challenging situation of while fighting with Yakshas. He became a sort of victim to hatred. And he was advised by Swami Bhavamano. So when you read this type of sections of Bhagavatam, we may sometimes develop a fear in our heart. Even if they practice and they become a grown-up devotee, even after they become a pure devotee, it seems that in the path of devotion service, many great personalities are facing dangers. What about me? This question can come to all of us. One time, in one of our student centers, some new boys were coming. And in the morning, Kirtan, they were dancing like anything. So one senior fellow, who has been around with us for 2-3 years, he called those 4-5 devotees and told them, "See, Prabhus, you may be very enthusiastic now, but wait and watch. After 2-3 years, Krishna will send you challenges." And they didn't know what he is speaking. He told them that, for new people, you get gulab jamun. You get very nice prasad, everything. But later on, you wait. Once you become a little serious devotee, Krishna will give you so much trouble. You will have to scream. You won't be laughing and dancing like this. And those guys became very frightened. And all 4-5 of them ran away. For 3-4 months, they never came back. Then later on, one Pune Yatra was there in Pune. Somehow, another senior who took pity on them, he called me on the phone and said, "Rashampu, this happened unfortunately. All these boys had come to 8 rounds. But after this fellow disgraced them like this, they thought that no, we don't want to face any dangers in later time. Better we run away now only. In the beginning stage only we run away." See, if somebody tells you, "See, you have a big boil in hand. If you go to the doctor, he will cut it." Immediately one will say, "Oh, I will not go to doctor." Then what to do? Okay, another friend says, "I'll blow over the boil." Is it not a good idea? See, blowing over the boil is not the solution for removing, solution for curing the boil. As long as somebody is blowing, you will feel nice. So demigod worship is like blowing on the boil. Whereas going to doctor and getting that false ego removed, whatever false ego we may be suffering from, it is always good for us. Because once it is gone. We will not suffer later. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, all of us, if we exhibit false ego as a conditioned soul, while practicing in the path of bhakti, then Krishna will have to, you know, help us in a very special way. He will have to remove the pus or whatever. But if we don't exhibit false ego, if you are a nice devotee, then there will be no suffering for you. Life can go on very smooth also. And then when you become a pure devotee, some people you don't see anything very dangerous or anything happening in their life, and they just do devotion service. Zoom, 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 they do, and then they go back to Godhead. You can see like that. There are also cases like that. So you may see Prahlad facing a lot of dangers from his father, Ambarish Maharaj facing danger from Durvasa Muni. Correct, no? On the other hand, you find our Dasiputra Narada boy, you know, he, after his mother passed away, he went to forest and he perfected his life by meditating on Vishnu very smoothly. Similarly, our Devahuti, mother of Kapila, she heard from Kapila, practiced devotion service and went back to Godhead. You see like that. It's not that every devotee has to undergo something dangerous. Hey, you become a serious devotee now, abhi kuch danger aane wala hai. It's not that everybody has to face. But in case of some devotees, the Lord may, you know, unique situations he may create for various reasons which we will discuss today. But then that senior devotee brought these 4-5 boys back to Pune Yatra. So I sat with them and I told them this. One who connects with Krishna always stands to gain. He never stands to lose. And then they were saying, but sir, we heard something else, they said. Then I told them, see, the fruit vendor lady gave fruits to Krishna, but Krishna gave her, she must have given Krishna 200 rupees fruits, Krishna gave her 20 lakh worth jewels. So she gained more or lost more? Gained more. Sudama Brahmana gave chipped rice and he got a big house and 100 servants in return. So he gave little, got a lot. She also gave little and got a lot. Correct, no? So I said, you will see anybody who went to Krishna always became, you know, benefited. You will see. Kubja went with a ugly, you know, hunchbacked body. She got a very beautiful body. Huh? I told all these examples. Sudama, florist, he offered a garland to Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna blessed him. In this life, you will get all sense gratification, whatever you aspire for. And after you die, you will come back to me. And Lord told them. Correct? So, what did they lose? Muchukunda got darshan of Krishna. And Krishna blessed him that you will come back to me, to my abode. Anybody who met Krishna, all the warriors in Kurukshetra battlefield, they were killed by Arjuna, but seeing Krishna, they all went back to Godhead. So when I told these examples, those boys became so happy. Again, they became, you know, devotees. Now they are all safe devotees now, continuing still. But in the early stage, they were bewildered by one fellow. So we should have full faith that Krishna is my well-wisher. He will always take care of me, like our Dwarkavasis are saying. Bhavayanastvam bhavaveshva bhavanah Tvameva mata surat patih pita Tvam sat gurarna paramam cha daivatam Yasyanuvritya kritino babhuvima. They are saying, my dear Lord, what a beautiful world you have created. The sun is shining in the morning. Like my daughter was telling that you have, they call something as bone porosity. You know that? There is a bone porosity, means the porosity is high in the bone. You need to take more sunlight to strengthen your bone. So, of course, I'm supposed to be under the sun every day for 20 minutes or something like that. So I was remembering this, Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayo, Krishna says. So which means by seeing, glanced by Krishna, you get strength in the body. Correct, no? So which means Lord's glance itself is nourishing to you. You can see that. So they are saying this world is created so beautifully. What kind of fruits, what kind of vegetables, what kind of spices you have created. What a beautiful world with sun and moon. You get, according to Rutucharya, you get the right vegetables at the right time. So they are glorifying Krishna for all the gifts through the nature. And then they are saying, you are our mother, you are our father, you are our Sadguru. They are saying, Tvam Sadgururna Paramamcha Devatam. You are our most worshipable deity. And by becoming your follower, we have attained all types of perfection in our life. They are saying, Yasyanuvritya Kritino Babhuvima. They are saying, we attained all perfection by becoming your follower. Actually, I can touch my heart and confidently say, in my life, I saw my life blossoming like a full-blown lotus ever since I came to Krishna consciousness in 1991. I could see that the very process of Krishna consciousness is so beautiful that as you increase your chanting, as you meet the devotees, you know, you don't eat out in a hotel, all dirty food, you know, you eat only prasad. You know, you get to see such beautiful deities all over the world in different ISKCON temples. You get to associate with the saintly devotees, all the devotees who are offering obeisances to each other, appreciating one another, encouraging one another. And it's like living in the community of swans. So as we spend more and more time, what kind of literature that we are reading, what quality of, you know, knowledge that is being given in this Krishna Prema. So we should actually look back very gratefully and thankfully and appreciate what we have received. So, and in case some suffering comes in our life, the suffering is coming because of our own false ego and our own mistakes that we have committed in the past. For which, see, do you think doctor gives only always sweet tasting medicines? Like sometimes the doctor gives a cough syrup to somebody. For another fellow, he'll give an injection. Isn't it? Like one devotee was telling in Bombay, he was actually with one another brahmachari who had come to his center. They both were there. This brahmachari screamed loudly at 12 o'clock at night. Said, my stomach is paining, Prabhu, very severely. Get somebody, otherwise I will die, or like that, he said. So this fellow thought, 12 o'clock, where will I go? How will I find doctor and everything? So he went out here and there in the street, he found a man. And that fellow heard the news and he put him in a bike and took him to a doctor. And then he brought the doctor to meet this man at 2 o'clock or so. As soon as the doctor came and said, you know, oh, you are feeling great stomach pain, don't worry, I will put an injection, he said. Oh, no, 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 doctor, now his stomach pain is gone now. He said, in my life, that is one thing I hate the most, he said, injection. Then he sat down and said, now no more pain now, he said. So after the doctor went, he said, hey, again, now stomach is paining now. He said, hey, but why you didn't take the injection? He said, because you showed the injection, my stomach pain was gone. So he was frightened. So some people fear bitter medicine. Some people fear injection. But if that is what is good for us, we should be willing to take it. What is good? What is right? We should be willing to take it. So always don't expect doctor to give you cough syrup. Somebody may tell the doctor, doctor, this cough syrup bottle, you can give me one bottle every day also. But you should not decide what medicine you want. You should accept whatever medicine you are given. Because God knows best what is good for us. So we should be willing to accept whatever Krishna sends. Therefore it is said, Lord's pat and beat, both are same. Lord's lap or slap, both are same. Sometime a mother may give her lap to the child. Another time when child is naughty, she may give a slap. Sometimes a father may give a pat on the back. Sometimes son is too naughty, he'll give a beat also. So, but mother and father are our well-wishers. So we should be willing to accept it. So that should be our attitude. And that has been the attitude of all great devotees. You will see in Bhagavatam, Ambarish Maharaj saw the big demon. He didn't cry, he didn't complain. That was the same mood of Prahlad also. Same mood of Vidura. You find all great devotees. So we have to follow in their footsteps in case some struggle or trouble comes in our life. Because ultimately we should know Lord is doing something for us which is ultimately necessary for us. And you will find every fellow, you find that when Lord is purifying, they go through the trouble and then they come out, emerge very successful. Like Vidura was chastised by Duryodhana very badly, although he was junior in age. But then Vidura purified his heart by the chastisement. Therefore, you know the word, chastise means you become a chaste devotee. Isn't it? We say pativrata nari, we say, no? All of us can ask ourselves, how much pativrata am I in serving Krishna? If my tongue is speaking anything other than glories of Krishna, the tongue is called a prostitute. Jihva asati dardurikeva suta nachopagayatrugaya gata. Bhagavatam says, tongue becomes asati if you speak gramya gatha. But can any of us say that my tongue always speaks only about Krishna? So therefore, because tongue is not chaste, we need chastisement to make the tongue chaste. Similarly, all our senses are not engaged only in Krishna service. Sometimes they engage in Maya service also. Then they require chastisement. So chastise means you become more chaste. Somebody is purifying us with a scolding. And that might be necessary for us to become purified. Like that one should take it, whatever comes our way. So, in Bhagavatam, whether it is Vidura, like Dhruva Maharaj was corrected by Swami Brahmano, immediately he became purified. He accepted immediately. Bharat Maharaj was a little careless in his spiritual life, inattentive, distracted. Then he was given the body of a deer, he became careful. Then he became Jada Bharata. Extremely careful, extremely attentive. Correct, no? Similarly, we all should be prepared. We should tell the Lord, my dear Lord, whatever anarthas I have, I don't know whether I am a simple bhoot or latanka bhoot. If I am a simple bhoot, Krishna doesn't have to take me through some, you know, solid situation. But if you are adamantly attached to our own ideas of what I want to do, then sometimes Krishna has to punish us, isn't it? Like, imagine a child is carrying a naphthalene ball and running. The mother has to give a slap and take away the naphthalene ball, just to ensure that the child doesn't, you know, face any danger. So Krishna want to, actually Krishna's way of saving us from danger is sometimes through certain situations, punishments. So in this way, a devotee should have full faith that whatever Krishna is doing for me is an embodiment of love. He is the love personified. He is an emperor of sweetness. So he is, there cannot be anybody close to me than him. He is called Suhrit. Hrit means heart. Suhrit means he is our heart-to-heart friend. Nobody can think good for you more than Krishna. He is the most beloved friend. And when that faith comes in our heart, we have nothing to fear. Just like mother, you will see, one time I saw, one mother saw that the child was very naughty. He was picking up the knife. Mother said, "Hey!" And she took the knife and kept it aside. Then the child went to the kitchen, touched the fire. Again, mother pulled out his hand from the fire. Now the mother was cooking. The child was upside down in a bucket, you know, trying to touch the water below. And then he was crying. He was crying because he could not come out. Now the mother took out. Now the child was laughing. Mother gave a slap to the child. Because what child was thinking is laughter, she took it very seriously because child is becoming more and more mischievous and naughty. When child got a solid, was a slap like this. Like that she slapped 3-4 times. And child cried like that. You've seen children open their full-blown mouth. And then, again like that, isn't it? Second time they cry. So, one amazing thing that I observed was, when the child was crying, he went and embraced the mother's legs, every mother, and burying the face on the mother's lap, on mother's sari, the child was crying. So anybody can ask, "Hey, mother only slapped you, why don't you run away from the mother?" But the child has no other shelter. This is the situation of a pure devotee also. If Krishna embraces me or punishes me, I have no other shelter. Ashlishyava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanan marmahatam karotuva yata tatava vidadhatu lampato matprananatastu sayevanaparah. Krishna, if you wish, you may embrace me or you may trample upon me by your foot and punish me as you wish. You may make me broken hearted. Because you are my eternal master unconditionally. This is the mood of Srimati Radharani. So, we should actually aspire for that type of attitude of the right devotee's attitude. So, Chitraketu is also in that type of mood, you will see that. But prior to Chitraketu adopting that mood in the form of Vritrasura, which will come later, there was one small tinge of anartha in Chitraketu's heart, which is explained in one purport by Prabhupada in this chapter. What happens to all of us when we advance in devotional service? At a certain time, we start looking back, how many years have I practiced devotional service? If some people say, "I have completed 10 years, 2-digit years I have completed." One fellow was telling, "Prabhu, संभाल कर बोलो मेरे साथ 10 साल हो गया है ना. सो देयर आर पीपल हु बिकम वेरी प्राउड ऑफ नंबर ऑफ सी सिंपली बाय स्पेंडिंग नंबर ऑफ इयर्स यू डोंट बिकम एडवांस्ड डिवोटी. करेक्ट ना? दैट वे देयर आर ट्रीज व्हिच आर 5000 इयर्स आल्सो. इज इट ना? There are trees who have heard Buddha speaking, Krishna speaking, you know, Jesus speaking. They have heard everybody, still they don't change. They remain the same only. So if a devotee is 10 years old, but he is very proud of his number of years, he has not become humble. Just like Lord Balaram told about Romahashna Sutta. Although you are a student of Vedavyas, although you have studied, you know, Upanishads, Vedas and all this, corollaries of the Vedic literature, all this learning and all this training has not produced humility in your heart, he said. So, Vidya Vinayana Shobate. The learning should actually make us humble in front of Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas. If it doesn't produce that humility, then that learning is simply like pouring ghee in ashes. So, Chitraketu also thought, I got a great guru like Narada Muni. This is another problem. Some people, if they get a very famous guru, they think they are also famous. It's very surprising, no? Prabhupada said, even a mosquito is sitting on the Vyasasana along with Guruji. And the mosquito can tell all his friends, see, Guruji is giving lecture to 1,000 people, I am also sitting next to him. So Prabhupada said, if somebody sees the mosquito, they will beat it and throw it away. Isn't it? Don't disturb the Guruji. So, just because you have a big guru doesn't make you great. That's very important. Guru may be great, but one sentence he writes is only Satsupadas Maharaj. Having a pure devotee spiritual master doesn't assure you that you will go back to Godhead unless you do the homework to go back to Godhead. Your endeavor and his grace, you need combination. You sow the seed, Krishna will give the reins. You prepare for the interview and give the interview well, then the panel will choose you. You write a competitive examination, then they will choose you for some course or something. It's a two-way thing always, not one way. Not that now I got Diksha from a big guru, so he will take me. No. We have to do our homework also. So, he had that type of a small tinge of pride that I have a pure devotee spiritual master like Narada. And I have seen Lord Sankarshan face to face. That kind of pride. So, this type of subtle pride is very dangerous for us. Some people say, you know, I am foreign returned. Of course, nowadays no more foreign returned is a big thing. Any Tom, Dick and Harry is going foreign nowadays. So many companies are sending people. In those days, if you put your foot in an aeroplane, you are considered a great soul. Correct, no? Now you go to the airport, it is like PMT bus stop. Especially early morning. Early morning you go, there are 300 people for the security check. Every company is sending people to a plane. Going across the globe is becoming a very common thing. So we call it as a global village. The whole world has become like one, shrunk into one village only now. So, but there are still some status symbols, which if you have, people feel very proud about. Like for example, if somebody has a chance to meet the guru in ISKCON, for example, guru is telling something in your ears, you will tell your friend, hey, click a photo, photo, quick, quick, quick. Take a photo. Before Guruji tells me to go away, click a photo quickly. Isn't it? And then people take that photo and they keep it with them, and or sometimes they make 100 copies and distribute to people. Please know who I am. Correct? See, Guruji, kaan mein bol rahe hain, dekh lo. You can understand who I am. See, why people want to take photo next to some big personality? Because people see big personalities, along with that they may also get to see them also. Correct, no? Therefore people want such photos. So, we may have that pride of meeting a great person or, you know, having achieved something very big. So he had, Prabhupada says in the purport, a small tinge of that pride. I have seen Lord Sankarshan face to face. I have got Narada as my Diksha Guru. Now I have become a Vidyadhara Loka king. Although I am earthly king, I am made a heavenly king now. Now so many Vidyadharis are all with accompanying instruments. They are all singing along with me in accompaniment. So my spiritual master in Chaupati temple, he was speaking a lecture on Keshi Demon. So he spoke the whole lecture on Keshi Demon. You all have heard of Keshi's pastime. At the end, he said, Maharaj said, do you know what is this Keshi demon?
Keshijiman means the pride that I am a Shiksha Guru. He said, somebody preaches and brings some people and then they think, I am the Shiksha Guru of so many devotees. I introduced him to Krishna consciousness. I made him serious. I brought him to 16 rounds. That kind of pride comes. Like one time one devotee wanted to leave one counselor and go to another counselor, one brahmachari. So this one of these brahmacharis was coming and saying that, he asked, what have you seen in me, some deficiency that you want to change? Maine tumko bhakti mein kada kiya. So then I told him, are kaun kada karte hain kisi ko bhakti mein, tum khud hi gidda rahe ho. Tum kya kada karenge? I said, this pride should be given up. You should never think that we are making somebody strong and spiritual. We should say that I preached to him and he chose to become a devotee. Who chose? He chose, not me. That is whose glory? His glory. Because, he could have easily rejected you and gone. You should not have that pride. Like one time a boy met me in Mayapur and he was a university topper. Earlier he was department topper, finally became university topper. So when he came, and then so many other devotees came and said, Prabhu, it's all Krishna's mercy. I gave one time in my college and this fellow, this university topper came and attended. He was clean bold after hearing my lecture. He became a devotee, Prabhu. Somehow Krishna used me as an instrument to make him a devotee, Prabhu. Like that one fellow said. And another devotee came and said, Prabhu, I was the one who gave DYS lecture to him. Said, another fellow came and said, one brahmachari said, Prabhu, I was the one giving sankalp and he had come for the sankalp. So many questions he asked me. Night 11 o'clock he slept. He asked so many questions. In this way, almost 5-6 people were talking about how this university topper was actually brought by them. Then I called that boy and asked, Prabhu, how did you become such a serious devotee? You are 1600 devotee. He said, Prabhuji, it's all Prabhupada's books. So I told these devotees, just see. See, therefore there's a saying in English, success has many fathers and failure is an orphan. Heard this? Imagine if that boy didn't become devotee, will any of them come and tell me? Prabhuji, my preaching is such a pathetic preaching, that fellow ran away. Will anybody say that? But somebody becomes a devotee, everybody wants to, I. Therefore, one devotee was telling, when you have eye disease, you need eye drop. He said, when you have I, capital I, disease, you need drop I. So we have to give up that I, which leads to ego. The ego should be dropped. So Lord observed this small tinge of pride in Chitraketu and Lord cleansed it by, see, Lord is such an intelligent personality. He will do multiple things. He will hit multiple mangoes in one hit. You will see in this chapter how Lord does so many things through this one instance. Like you see, when Lord Krishna goes to, he wants to kill Bhaumasura, but Bhaumasura has a connection to Bhuma Devi, Bhu Devi, who has a connection to Satyabhama. So Lord knows that Satyabhama will be angry with me if I kill Bhaumasura. So what he did, he took her also with him. He told Satyabhama that I have to carry this Aditi's kundal to heaven. So you also come with this. But he took her to Bhaumasura's palace and then Bhaumasura attacked Krishna in such a ferocious manner, very dangerous manner. Satyabhama was wondering, what is this fellow doing? She said, hit him, kill him. Krishna said, if you are telling me to kill him, I will finish him. Then Krishna finished him. So Satyabhama's sakshi was necessary for killing Bhaumasura. So Lord did that. And after that, he took the Aditi's kundal, Varuna's umbrella, and took her to heavenly planets. And there, she wanted the Parijata plant. So he plucked and gave it to her. So multiple pastimes Krishna connects in one thing. And he does, and he takes her. Similarly, here also you will find Chitraketu's pastime. See, the first 10 verses, Chitraketu, the scene is what was put up in our poster. That is, Chitraketu laughs at Lord Shiva. when he is in the aeroplane in the sky, singing along with the Vidyadharis. That's the first 10 verses. And then the next 5 verses, Mother Parvati chastises and curses Chitraketu. And then next 10 verses, 16 to 25, Chitraketu speaks to Mother Parvati back, which is a very, very instructive section. And then 26 to 38, next 12-13 verses, Shiva speaking to Parvati, which is the most important section also in this section. So in this way, there are many characters involved here. If you see Chitraketu laughing at Shiva, Parvati cursing Chitraketu, and then Chitraketu speaking to Parvati back, and then Shiva talking to Parvati after Chitraketu is gone. So these are the sections. This is a very subtle pastime, very minute details are involved. So I'll request your attention. First part, what is the benefit you will get by attending this class today? You will know the subtle dealings between Vaishnavas. How to deal with Vaishnavas in such a way not to commit offenses in a gross way or a subtle way while dealing. How to be careful, we will learn from this chapter. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Yatashchantarhito nantas tasyai kritva dishe namaha vidyadharaschitraketush chachara gaganecharah.
Sri Sukhdev Goswami said, after offering obeisances to the directions from which Ananta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has disappeared, Chitraketu began travelling in outer space as the head of the Vidyadharas.
This I told you. Now he is promoted as the Vidyadhara Loka head. Very great position. Read the 2 and 3 translation.
Being praised by great sages and saints and by the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and Charanaloka, Chitraketu, the most powerful mystic yogi, wondered about enjoying life for millions of years with bodily strength and senses free from deterioration.
That means his body and senses were strong, it didn't undergo deterioration because he was a devotee of the Lord. Prabhupada says those who are Krishna conscious devotees, although their body may grow in old age, they will still have great vigor, vitality, enthusiasm, inspiration. Just like young people. You will see Narada, he always looks like a 16-year-old boy. He always looks young. Because Jara could not touch him. You will find in the 4th canto. He never got old. Srila Prabhupada was 70 years old when he went to America. But many young boys thought Prabhupada is younger than them. Because Prabhupada was running here, there, preaching. Young people got tired. Prabhupada never got tired. Similarly, Vidyadhara was a pure devotee, great devotee. So he actually, millions of years he lived without his mind and without his body and senses becoming weak.
He travelled within the valley of Sumeru mountain, which is the place of perfection for various kinds of mystic power. In those valleys, he enjoyed life with the woman of Vidyadhara Loka by chanting the glories of Supreme Lord Hari.
This is very interesting. How did he enjoy with the women? Have you ever seen some men and women going to Lonavala and, you know, in the waterfalls and the caves, enjoying with women, dancing and chanting Hare Krishna? You know what type of enjoyment they do. But because he was a devotee of Lord Balaram, Lord Sankarshan, how he enjoyed? He was surrounded by women who were playing different instruments. So when he would lead, he was a lead singer and they would be following singers. So, of course, Chitraketu was married. He was a grihastha. He had his family. Along with that, he had a big group of Vidyadharis traveling with him. And they were all doing kirtan. So Prabhupada will write about this point. Read the purport.
It is to be understood that Maharaj Chitraketu, although surrounded by beautiful women from Vidyadhara Loka, did not forget to glorify the Lord by chanting the holy name of Lord. It has been proved in many places that one who is not contaminated by any material condition, who is a pure devotee engaged in chanting the glories of Lord, should be understood to be perfect.
Because he's chanting the glories of the Lord, he was uncontaminated. Although many women were singing along with him in the airplane. Ekadasa vimanena Vishnu dattena bhasvata Girisham dadrishe gachan Paritam siddha charanaihi Alingya ki kritam devim Bahuna muni samsadi Uvacha devya shrinvantya Jahasochai stadantike See, Ekada, at one point of time, so Vimanena, he was going in a plane. And who gave him the plane? Vishnu Dattena. Lord Vishnu gave him. Bhaswata. It was resplendent. Shining beautifully. At that time, in this plane, when he was traveling along with Vidyadhari, singing and all, Girisham. Who is Girisham? You find Lord Shiva is called Girisham. Dadrishe Gachan. He came across a site where he saw Lord Shiva. Paritam Siddha Charanaihi. He was surrounded by Siddhas, Charanas and Munis, Rishis. They were all sitting with Lord Shiva. Shiva was giving a class. Alingyanki Kritam Devi. He was keeping Parvati on his lap with his hand on her shoulder like this. Alingyanki Kritam Devi. Actually, I have seen Lord Ramachandra's Pattabhishek, picture where Lord Rama is sitting and Sita is sitting on his lap. Any of you have seen that picture? Yeah. Sita is sitting on his lap. He is putting his hand like this. And on one side, there is Bharat, Lakshman, holding the umbrella and fanning like this. Hanuman is sitting below. So it seems that in the Vedic times, this was a style. A husband will keep the wife on the lap. Like Lord Rama is keeping Sita. Now who is keeping? Shiva is keeping. So it's not wrong for a husband to keep wife. Only you cannot keep anybody else there. So when reserved only for the wife, the husband. And what they will do, they will have exchanges, they will talk. Actually in the Vedic times you will find the greatest enjoyments are somebody singing Carnatic music. The wife is singing. Wife will sing Carnatic music, husband will put Sarigama Padanesa and Alapana. Then she will sing more. Or she will play Veena. Or husband will say some philosophical point and wife will substantiate it, speaking it. So naturally the relationship between husband and wife is intimate. And it is not considered wrong. Therefore I told you the example of Lord Rama keeping Sita. Here Shiva is keeping Parvati like this. So at the same time, there was one problem for Chitraketu. Such sitting with wife so intimately, while giving class to a group of Siddhas and Charanas and Rishis and Munis, that was a very peculiar sight for him. And that too he was speaking on the topic of Vairagya also. So he was very surprised. Bahuna Muni Samsadi. Bahuna means with his hands. Vacha Devya Shrinvantya. Within the hearing of the Devi, he's saying, while Goddess Parvati, within her hearing, what he did? Jahasa Uchaihi. Jahasa means ha 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 ha. Like that, laughing very loudly. Ha 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 ha. Like that, showing hand and looking at Shiva and laughing like that. Jahasa Uchaihi. Tadantike. In very close. Antike means very nearby. See, laughing is not a problem, but we should not laugh at the wrong time. Now you can laugh, don't worry. Now some of them are doubtful, should we laugh or not? You see, Draupadi laughed when Duryodhana slipped. And you know the whole Kurukshetra battle took place. You can see that. Chitraketu laughed. And you know what happened subsequently. He didn't say also any word. Now he is laughing. And the laughter itself created problem. Once Rupa Goswami laughed after seeing some Leela Spurti. At the time, a limping Vaishnava was passing by who was having a broken leg or something. And he took it as an offense. So we should take care that we don't laugh at the cost of someone. in our life also. Because imagine somebody is slipping and falling because there is a banana peel on the road. And that fellow put his foot on the banana peel. Dhadal ki peel. Ha ha ha, look at that fellow. We should not laugh because we can also fall in a similar manner. Correct, no? Similarly, in case some devotee has fallen down from Krishna consciousness, again we should not laugh. Rather, we should find out how I can help. To give a helping hand to the devotee and uplift the devotee. So, when we can laugh, when there is some humor. Somebody asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, are there mosquitoes in spiritual world? Prabhupada said, if there are, they all are chanting Hare Krishna. That's what Prabhupada said. So don't worry, even if mosquitoes are there, they will all be chanting Hare Krishna. And they won't bite you, don't worry. One devotee asked Prabhupada, we heard that even the other creatures become very favorable to pure devotees. Haridas Thakur was living in a cave. And there was also a snake, big snake, mountain snake living there. When Vaishnavas came to see Haridas Thakur, they were all looking at the snake and trembling. And Haridas Thakur felt, since Vaishnavas are afraid, I will leave this place and go to another cave, he thought. When snake heard this, immediately he slithered away. Thought that instead of Haridas Thakur leaving, who will leave? I will leave. So Prabhupada says, the super soul in the heart of snake told him not to bite Haridas Thakur. And therefore, both of them are living peacefully in the cave. So one devotee told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are a pure devotee. So all the mosquitoes in their heart, their super soul must have told them not to bite you. All over. Prabhupada said, yes, that's true. All over the world I travel, I have no mosquito problem. But Calcutta mosquitoes are special. They bite me. So like that, Prabhupada. So therefore, you should arrange a mosquito net for me when I come here. So in this way, sometimes in Krishna consciousness there is a lot of humor also. At same time, while dealing with devotees, we should not cut jokes at the cost of devotees. We should not crack jokes at devotees because we may ourselves become a laughing stock if we joke at devotees. So that's one lesson we learn. Jahasa uchchaihi tadantike. Yeah. Read the purport. See the purport after that verse. Sri Vishnu Chakradhakur quotes, Bhaktim Bhutim Harir Dattva Svavichedanu Bhutaye Devyasha Pena Vritratvam Nitvatam Swantike Nayat. Read further.
The purport is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to bring Chitraketu to Vaikuntha Loka as soon as possible. The Lord's plan was that Chitraketu be cursed by Parvati to become Rudrasura, so that in his next life he could quickly return home back to Godhead. There have been many instances in which a devotee acting as a demon has been brought to the kingdom of God.
Like Prahalad, or Vibhishan, Bali Maharaj. They are all born in demoniac families, but they are devotees. Yeah.
For Parvati to be embraced by Lord Shiva was natural in a relationship between husband and wife. This was nothing extraordinary for Chitraketu to see. Nonetheless, Chitraketu laughed loudly to see Lord Shiva in that situation, even though he should not have done so. Thus, he was eventually cursed, and this curse was the cause of his returning home back to Godhead.
Okay, that instance is elaborately explained now. Chitraketuruvacha Yesha Loka Guru Sakshat Dharmam Bhakta Sharirinam Aste Mukhya Sabhayam Vai Mithuni Bhuya Bharyaya. Yeah.
Chitraketu said, Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of the general populace,
Loka Guru, he's saying,
is the best of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. He enunciates the system of religion.
Dharmam Bhakta. That's another body he's using.
Yet how wonderful is it that he is embracing his wife Parvati in the midst of an assembly of great saintly persons.
See, he is calling him as a Mukhya Sabhayam. He's the leader of the Sabha. Dharmam Bhakta is a speaker of religious principles. Loka Guru, he is the spiritual master of all the people of this world. So that means, Chitraketu is glorifying Shiva by all these words. Only lastly he is saying, Mithuni Bhuya Bharyaya. But look at him, How wonderful it is that he is embracing his wife in the public assembly like this. Jatadharasthivratapa. Brahmavadi sabhapatihi. Anki kritya sriyam chaste. Gatahri prakrito yatha. See, Jatadhara. Jatadhara means Lord Shiva is having matted hair. So matted hair, if somebody is having, that means he is a very severe tapasvi. Huh? Because, you know, generally you comb hair every day putting oil and everything. Naturally you have silky hair. Huh? Correct, no? You put shampoo and everything. Whereas Shiva never combs the hair. Huh? Because there are two ways you can express renunciation. One is allow the hair to keep on growing in whatever direction. Mustache, beard, hair, you just leave it. Huh? Or you shave up. Like Vaishnavas, they shave up everything like that. So Shiva was, she is also Mahayogi also. Huh? So he allows the hair to grow like that. So he's a Jatadhara. That means he's a very renounced person. Tivratapa is saying. He performs fierce austerities. You can see Shiva always sitting and meditating in deep absorption. You can see that it's a Tivratapa. And he's a Brahmavadi Sabhapatihi. Brahmavadi means all the strict followers of the Vedic principles. He is the president of the assembly. Of all of them, he's saying. And then he's saying, Ankikritya Sriyam Chaste, embracing his wife. Gatahri. You know what is the meaning of Gatahri? Without shame. Hri means shame. Prakrito yatha. Like a conditioned soul. Like that he said. You see, he is glorifying Shiva in various ways. He is saying, you are Loka Guru, he is Dharmam Bhakta, he is Mukhya of the Sabha, he is Jatadhara, Tivratapa, Brahmavadi Sabhapati. All these things, 5-6 glorifications he has done. But towards the end he is saying, Gatahri, shamelessly, and Prakritoyata, like a conditioned soul, he said. So, these are the words. The last one or two words that he is using are very dangerous words. Like for example, if you are a manager, you can tell a devotee to do some service in the morning. He has not done. Afternoon he has not done. Evening he has not done. And he is sitting in the same place. And at night you go to him and say, Prabhu, morning I told you to do a service. Morning to evening you are sitting in the same place, not completing the service. Idly, lazily sitting like a buffalo, not completing the service. And instead of telling you, I could have told somebody else. In this long sentence, he will remember one word. What is that word? That he will catch. Like that he said, prakrito yatha. See, yatha means what? Like a conditioned soul. He didn't say Shiva is conditioned soul. What he said? Like a conditioned soul. So, people actually use such words while taunting somebody. Prabhuji, why are you sitting like a buffalo? Then becomes offensive. Then he asks like that. So, or you are jada like a tree. You are not moving. You are not doing anything. So, for every adjective you use, you can also use it along with such examples. It can become offensive. Like you will find in Bhagavatam, many such examples come. Like our Sarmishta and Devayani in their arguments. Devayani is telling, you are like a crow who has taken away the ghee that is meant for the fire sacrifice. You are like the dog who has taken away the ghee. Like that she says. Similarly, even that Shringi, while cursing Parikshit, he is scolding him with such words also. So sometimes people have loose tongue. We have to be very careful. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, in case we had a habit of using dirty words, after coming to Krishna consciousness, we have to give them up. We cannot have an unclean mouth. Especially in the company of civilized Vaishnavas, gentlemanly Vaishnavas. So we have to keep our lower nature under control and eventually eliminate it. We can't afford to use dirty language, foul language. That's another lesson we learn here. And we should not compare Vaishnavas to such improper examples. So he's saying like that, like ordinary human being or like a conditioned soul, he's behaving. Like that he's saying. And then he's picking further. प्रायश प्राकृताश्चापि स्त्रियं रहसि बिभ्रति अयं महाव्रतधरो विवर्ति सदसि स्त्रियं. See, here he is saying prayashaha. Generally in this world it is seen prakritaschapi, even the conditioned souls also, when they deal with their woman, their stri, wife, you know, rahasi bibarti, they privately do these things, sit with, embrace the woman in their, in privacy, especially embrace their wife in private place. Even they have that culture. Whereas I am, look at this Shiva, this person, mahavrata daro, who has accepted a great vrata, bibarti sadasi striyam. He is holding his wife on his lap in a public sabha, just see. In this way, he is giving a further interpretation of the same scene. Correct, no? Yeah. See, in the previous purport, 7th purport, middle, he says here, the third line, read it, he appreciated.
He appreciated Lord Shiva's position, but when he saw Lord Shiva sitting in the midst of saintly persons and acting like a shameless, ordinary man, he was astonished. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that although Chitraketu criticized Lord Shiva, he did not offend Lord Shiva like Daksha. Daksha considered Lord Shiva insignificant, but Chitraketu expressed his wonder at Lord Shiva's being situated in that way.
Yeah, how Daksha offending Shiva is different from Chitraketu, you know, dealing with Shiva now. That's coming in the next few verses, it will become very clear for you. Shri Shuka Uvacha. भगवानपि तच्छ्रुत्वा रहस्यागाददीर्नृप तूष्णीं बभूव सदसि सव्याश्च तदनुव्रताः. सी भगवानपि तच्छ्रुत्वा, नॉट ओनली पार्वती हर्ड हिम लाफ, हु आल्सो हर्ड, भगवान शिवा आल्सो हर्ड इट. सो शिवा आल्सो हर्ड इट. And Shiva clearly heard what he spoke also. Because he must have been flying in the plane quite low, not too high. So, Bhagavan api tachrutva, prahasyagada denrapa. And then what he did, Shiva did? He smiled, prahasya. And he is called as agada dhirnrapa. Agada dhi means what? Dhi means intelligence. Agada dhi means oceanic intelligence. That Lord Shiva, who had a oceanic intelligence, he smiled, seeing this. And then he's saying, Tushnim Babuva. Then he became silent. And Sadasi, in that assembly, Sabhyashtha Anuvrataha. Anuvrata means they all followed Shiva in the same manner. When Shiva smiled, all the people in the sabha also, they smiled and they also became silent. Which clearly shows that Shiva did not take any offense. Compare Daksha and Chitraketu. Daksha, when he entered the assembly, he spoke very, very ill of Shiva. He told that Shiva has eyes like an owl, he said. Whereas my daughter, whom I gave in marriage, you know, she has eyes like a deer. And he said, I would have never given my daughter in marriage to Shiva, Dakshayani. But why I gave? Because this Parameshti told me to give. Like that he showed Brahma, this Parameshti. So he scolded Brahma also. ये बोला करके मैंने दिया, like that he said. So he scolded Brahma, he scolded Shiva, and he said, Shiva, Shiva means auspicious, but he lives in Shmashan. How can somebody sitting in Shmashan can be considered auspicious? Like that he criticized Shiva. But Shiva goes to Shmashan, why? He want to deliver the bhut, preet, prishach and make them all Vaishnavas. This fellow doesn't know that. He is offending Shiva very badly. Actually, all the sabha people, they plugged their ears. They all ran away. They thought we should not hear blasphemy. Shiva himself got up and walked out. Shiva was not happy with the behavior of Daksha. On the other hand, look at Chitraketu's instance. Chitraketu is laughing and he is making such comments. And Shiva is also smiling. And he became silent. And people in the sabha, did they plug their ears and run away? No. They also smiled and became silent. Which clearly shows that Shiva did not take offense. Nor did the other Vaishnavas present in the assembly consider it to be an offense, like the Prabhupada writes here. Purport is very important. Read that.
Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Lord Shiva is somewhat mysterious and cannot be understood by a common man. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, however, has made the following observations. Lord Shiva, being the most exalted Vaishnava and one of the most powerful demigod, is able to do anything he desires. Although he was externally exhibiting the behavior of a common man and not following etiquette, such actions cannot diminish his exalted position. The difficulty is that a common man seeing Lord Shiva's behavior might follow his example, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.21.
Yeah, see, he is able to do anything he desires. I will explain this. This is some explanation. See, Prabhupada says, Narada Muni brought Kayadu to his ashram when she was pregnant with Prahlad. Correct, no? And then you will see in our picture also, you find Narada Muni is instructing her on Bhagavata Dharma. And Kayadu is sitting and listening. Along with her, Prahlad also is listening. Correct, no? And then Prabhupada says, can any monk in this world bring a woman who is pregnant woman and then give her instruction like this? Yeah. It's a very risky thing. Yeah. And she is not very old, she is young also. Yeah. Similarly, Haridas Thakur in the dead of the night is sitting and chanting. At that time, the most beautiful prostitute was chosen by Ramachandra Khan. And she was sent. So she was sitting. She went and she was actually exposing some of the parts of her body to allure Haridas Thakur to fall down, pray to her. But Haridas Thakur was very, very advanced. He was actually having prema chakshu, eyes of love for Krishna. So first day, second day, third day, he did not send her away. He told her, you come, I will fulfill your desire, but after I complete my chanting. Like that he told. Every day she came. The whole night she was awake, watching. Then third day, she saw, by hearing the pure name chanted by Haridas Thakur, then she also became purified. She started crying, oh Lord Hari. That's what she started calling. She became purified also by that. And the Prabhupada says, can any of us do? Like if somebody, boy is chanting the holy name, some girl is sent to make him fall down. She comes, what he should do? So one boy was asking, Prabhuji, I think we should do the same thing like Haridas Thakur. Maybe Haridas Thakur transformed her in 3 days, we may take 30 days. So when he told this to Radha Gopinath Prabhu, you know what Radha Gopinath Prabhu said? If somebody comes like that for you, you should get up and run away from that place. And he said, while running away also, you should loudly chant the holy name and run. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. He said, never imitate Haridas Thakur, he said. So, now Haridas Thakur, Narada, these are all very great souls. None of us can imitate. That's what he is telling. A very great soul is able to do anything like this, what he is doing. But one cannot imitate. There was one devotee in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. I don't remember his name. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur quotes about him. He will be taking the bead bag, he will be chanting. While chanting like this, Hare Krishna, he will be playing dice in the other hand. Six, he will say, six he will put, Hare Krishna, 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 Ram, Ram. Four, he will put like that, he will play. But who he was? He was one of the covered boys from the spiritual world. And then who plays dice game with Krishna? So when he's chanting Hare Krishna, when he puts the dice, he remembers whom? Krishna. So can any of us do that? You know, can you have the bead bag in one hand and have the remote control for watching TV in another hand? Watching, what is the next channel? And then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Next one and then, can you be doing that? So we cannot imitate pure devotees. That is the meaning of this. Pure devotees may appear to be, distracted and things like that. But they are on a different plane. Do not imitate, he is saying. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used to say, if you imitate that fellow, you are gone. So don't imitate. Like somebody may say, in abroad there is one shop where they call Rudra Magic, they call it. You know what is Rudra Magic? Pan. Pan and also this marijuana and all this, drug items they sell in one country. They put Shiva's picture along with Rudra Magic, they write like that. Okay, you want to take Rudra magic, why don't you take Halahal also? That is also magic, no? Shiva's magic. Shiva drank Halahal and didn't die, so you also try out. Why you only imitate Shiva partially? Correct? Why don't you imitate fully? So Prabhupada says, if somebody tries to imitate great souls, it's like drinking Halahal. Huh? One shouldn't imitate. That's, go ahead.
Whatever action a great man performs, common man follows. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. A common man might also criticize Lord Shiva, like Daksha, who suffered the consequences for his criticism. King Chitraketu desired that Lord Shiva sees this external behavior so that others might be saved from criticizing him and thus becoming offenders.
Yeah, this is the point. All of you think for a moment about this psychology. It's a very important point. There are some devotees who are perfectionists and they want to set right things in such a way that nobody's behavior will be setting a bad example for others. They are very keen about this. That they will say that, how can you do this? Because of this, other people will copy what you are doing. So, don't set a bad example. So, they want to go around in this world setting right people who are setting bad examples. You understand? No? So, this is one tendency which is there in us, even as practicing sadhana bhaktas. When we look at other devotees, we put them under electron microscope. When it comes to our faults, we see with telescope. Because telescope, you see, for long distance, it looks very small for you. But other people's problems, we put it under electron microscope. You magnify it and see it. Hey, don't do this. What will others, learn from you? Hey, don't do that. So, for such people, we can tell them to put a big slogan in the room. Mind your own business. What is it? Yeah, correct. That's the most important lesson. So I was once asking my special master, Maharaj, some mistakes are so glaring in our eyes when people do. It looks so, odd. How can we avoid telling them? He said, close your eyes half, he said. Keep only half your eyes open when you are walking here and there. You only keep your eyes as much as it is necessary to see the things when you are walking. Beyond that, overlook others' faults. He said, you will make tremendous advancement, he said, in spiritual life. Because this world is filled with conditioned souls who have four defects. So four defects means they have imperfect senses, they are subject to illusion, they commit mistakes, and they cheat. So because of that, all conditioned souls will commit mistakes, one or other. And if you are going to be busy watching who is committing what mistake, hey, dekho, so gaya japa mein, he's sleeping and chanting. Hey, see that fellow, he's walking out, I think he's going out to sleep in the ashram. So don't be very curiously watching who is going where and who is doing what. This type of keen observation of others' faults is sure short way to degrade our consciousness. Now you may ask a question, Prabhu, if we don't see and help others, then what will happen to them? That Krishna will take care. There are people who will take care. Here Chitraketu, he observed Shiva's keeping Parvati on his lap, he observed. Immediately there is a desire to correct. This is the desire for giving feedback. See, Prabhupada says, do not instruct those who are not your sons or disciples. Prabhupada says, if somebody is your Shiksha disciple, they come and ask you, Prabhu, can you please tell me, I am suffering from this anartha. If you can give me some guidance, can you? Then we can give guidance. But if somebody is not hiring you, then how can you guide them? Like even Krishna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita does not preach to Arjuna. He is silently taking the chariot wherever Arjuna is asking him to take. Only when Arjuna cried and surrendered to Krishna, then only he preaches to him. So Chitraketu, is Shiva his disciple? No, Shiva is his god brother. Because Shiva is a disciple of, Shiva is also a follower of Sankarsana. Chitraketu is also a worshipper of Sankarsana. So they are like, peers. So, while dealing with peers, we can't give any instruction like this to others. We have to be very careful. The desire for finding fault in others, desire to give feedback to others, desire to ridicule others, chastise others, and that too do these things in a public forum is considered offensive. Even in case, see, what Chitraketu could have done, he is watching from the top. It is mentioned clearly, when Shiva was speaking on the topic of the lecture, at that time Narada was sitting also. And many others were sitting. Now who is Narada for Chitraketu? His guru, spiritual master. So, do you think his spiritual master is less informed about Shiva keeping Parvati on his lap? Why Narada did not correct? If my guru is not correcting, why should I correct? He could have thought like that. Or at least Chitraketu could have halted the plane, gone and he could have gone and sat in the class along with Narada. Softly can ask Guruji, Guruji, dekha kya chal raha? You say, correct, no? How can Shiva do like this? And then Guru, what Guruji will say? Shh, keep quiet. I will tell you after the class. Correct, no? So, therefore, in Vaishnava circles, you cannot tell the truth in a public forum, even though it may be a truth. Because this is one etiquette in Vaishnava philosophy. Even though something may be true, in a public forum, if you say it becomes offensive. So there is a platform in which all the things should be done. For example, you want to correct a Vaishnava, you should find out a one-to-one, meet them in a personal place and tell them, and no one is watching. So therefore, chastise in private and glorify in public. See, for glorifying in public, you don't need permission. And nobody will be angry with you, why you glorified me? You know, you can glorify as much as you wish. Devotees. But correcting, giving feedback, chastising in a public forum, that's where the mistake happened. Read further, complete.
If one thinks that Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the only perfect personality, whereas the demigods, even such demigods as Lord Shiva, are inclined to improper social affairs, he is an offender. Considering all this, King Chitraketu was somewhat harsh in his behavior with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, who is always deep in knowledge, could understand Chitraketu's purpose, and therefore he was not at all angry. Rather, he simply smiled and remained silent. Members of the assembly surrounding Lord Shiva could also understand Lord Chitraketu's purpose. Consequently, following the behavior of Lord Shiva, they did not protest. Instead, following their master, they remained silent. If the members of the assembly thought that Chitraketu had blasphemed Lord Shiva, they would certainly have left at once, blocking their ears with their hands.
See, sometimes the devotees of the Lord are unsophisticated in their behavior, but don't underestimate them. Just because they appear to be unsophisticated. Just like in Ramayana, you find all the monkeys were unsophisticated, but Lord Ram loved them very much. In Los Angeles, if you go even today, in Los Angeles temple, there is a garden nearby where they have the Fate Museum. So there is one place where Prabhupada used to sit and used to preach to the scientists and all who are visiting. So in the top, there is a gallery, even today you will see. So devotees used to go to that gallery and hang from there and watch Prabhupada preaching to scientists, and they would say, hey, Prabhupada gave a good smashing. They would be enjoying it. So once the temple, one of the leaders came, and he told all the devotees, shh, hey, all of you guys go inside. Because scientists are sitting and talking to Prabhupada, they will feel offended if you are watching and laughing. Correct, no? Because the devotees, whenever Prabhupada defeated their points, then the devotees would say, ha, 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 you know, they would be enjoying like that. You know, like that. So, when this devotee told the other devotees to go inside, Prabhupada said, hey, why are you telling them to go inside? Let them stay. Because I want them to learn also how I am preaching. Let them see my preaching and they are learning how to deal with scientists. And Prabhupada said like that. So sometimes the devotee's way of dressing, way of speaking, way of doing certain things may be unsophisticated. But similarly, Shiva also, you know, lives in Shmashan. He has a jata. He has a snake around his neck. He puts basma all over his body. You know, he appears niggardly. You know, he is keeping his wife on his lap. So this appearance may make him appear that he is not materially sophisticated. Therefore, Daksha Prajapati misunderstood Shiva. Actually, Daksha Prajapati thought, I am a very materially opulent person. See the kind of dress I am wearing. In fact, many of you may be aware, very rich people and all, they wear different dress for different occasions. Do you know that? Yeah. When they go for marriage, they wear one type of dress. When they go to the beach, they wear another type of dress. When they go to office, they wear formals. And when they come to temple, they wear another type of dress. Correct, no? Huh? Now, if you see Shiva, he has same type of dress only. Everywhere. Huh? He has a deer skin or tiger skin and he has a snake around his neck. So, Daksha thought that, see, I am very well informed about material sophistication. Huh? I am a rich man and I am also a Prajapati. And when I come into the Sabha, everybody gets up and everybody bows down to me. Hmm? But look at Shiva. He is unsophisticated. But little did he know Shiva's spiritual opulences. So Shiva's spiritual opulences were greater than Daksha's material opulences. Out of the two, which is greater? Spiritual opulences is greater. Similarly, we as devotees, sometimes we may be able to speak technical lectures. Or sometimes we may be having material skills. But there are so many senior devotees who may appear to be very unsophisticated. But we should not underestimate them. Just because they cannot give technical lectures like us, we can prepare from, you know, certain technical things and present in a very systematic fashion. But there are many senior devotees who don't prepare and present systematically, but they are very advanced than us in spiritual life. They are spiritually very advanced. So we should consider their spiritual advancement rather than, you know, think high of our own material skills and, you know, abilities. Like, for example, many younger devotees are very good in expert in management. Than very advanced devotees. Like today, Krishnan Prabhu is here. Now, Krishnan Prabhu is a very great preacher, worldwide international known preacher, traveling around. He may not be managing a temple, but he is giving inspiration to devotees in hundreds of temples. Just because we can manage a temple doesn't mean we are better than somebody who is a very advanced preacher. So, therefore, Daksha Prajapati misunderstood Shiva's position. Similarly, Chitraketu's intention was different altogether. His intention was, please, my dear friend Shiva, do not set a bad example. Because people will misunderstand demigods. You are one of the chief of demigods. People are going to misunderstand you. Yeah. You know, many times when you see many Western disciples when they come to India, you know, they may not know proper etiquette or behavior, certain things, and people may tease them. So you may be worried about how people may take some bad example from them. So when you want to tell them not to do certain type of things, you have to be very careful. Otherwise, we can commit the same mistake what Chitraketu did. Read the next translation. The word is also important. Kityatad virya vidushi Bruvane bahvashobhanam Rushaha Devi Drishtaya Nirjitatma Abhimanine. Yeah. Read the translation.
Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chitraketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chitraketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses.
Yeah. Read the purport.
Purport. Although Chitraketu never meant to insult Lord Shiva, he should not have criticized Lord. Even though the Lord was transgressing social customs. It is said, Tejyasam na doshaya. One who is very powerful should be understood to be faultless. For example, one should not find faults with the sun, although it evaporates urine from the street. The most powerful cannot be criticized by an ordinary man or even by a great personality.
Yeah, what is the meaning of this? Tejyasam na doshaya. Sometimes people are of very high character. And they have very great stature. They have been famous for a long period of time. Maharaja Parikshit. In his entire life, he had no track record of offending any Brahmana Vaishnava. In his entire life, Lord Krishna protected him in the womb. Later on, he subdued Kali. All the people of the world glorified him. So they are all like Tejyasam, very powerful people. So he's putting a dead snake around the neck of Samikrishi cannot be considered a very big dosh. If somebody had a track record for a long time, steady name, good reputation, everything, suddenly they did one small mistake. And that shouldn't be blown off out of proportion. Because they are also such people that they will immediately repent for what they did. That's what that is Tejiya Samna Dosha, he says. Yes.
Chitraketu should have known that Lord Shiva, although sitting in that way, was not to be criticized. The difficulty was that Chitraketu, having become a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Sankarsana, was somewhat proud at having achieved Lord Sankarsana's favor.
I told you this, correct? Yeah.
And therefore thought that he could now criticize anyone, even Lord Shiva. This kind of pride in a devotee is never tolerated. A Vaishnava should always remain very humble and meek and offer respect to others.
And then he's quoting Trinada Bhishanachana verse and then the translation, and then Prabhupada says, a Vaishnava should not try to minimize anyone else's position. It is better to remain humble and meek and chant the Hare Krishna mantra peacefully. Huh? And then Nirjitatma Abhimanine, Chitraketu thought himself a better controller of senses than Lord Shiva, although actually he was not, he is saying. So here is Prabhupada's very beautiful purports from different angles. So don't minimize any other Vaishnava. Better remain humble and chant Hare Krishna. Don't consider yourself to be a greater controller of senses than other Vaishnavas. See, generally what happens in our life, in case we become a specialist or expert in one area, first thing that happens to us is, we see that I am becoming a specialist or becoming an expert. So that goes to our head. It's called head weight, we call it. Head weight means what? Pride. Pride comes. Then next to pride, you look around and see, who else is doing what I am doing? Then you say, hey, see, you cannot do like me. Come, I will teach you how to do it. Then the superiority complex comes. You go around telling people, like I am a book distributor, for example. Initially, I don't know how to distribute books. I'll go and ask others, how did you do, Prabhu? How did you do? Very, very humbly. And once I start distributing a lot of books, then the pride may come. I am a great distributor. I am the best distributor. Then you go around and tell others, okay, you distribute like that, I have a better skill than you. You want to ride over the shoulders of others. Correct, no? So this kind of mentality should be taken care of in every department, whether you are a good pujari, you are a good cook, you are a good garland maker, you are a good book distributor, you are a good preacher, whatever you be. So devotee has to take care. If I am getting better and better in one area, let me not become proud. And let me not have superiority complex. That's one reason Prabhupada is teaching. Now, see, there was one word used in this verse, Bahu Ashobanam. Atad virya vidushi bruvane. What is the meaning of Bahu Ashobanam? You see, whenever you tell a fault of somebody, we should be as brief as possible. Like Chitraketu would have told, Lord Shiva, no, please, ask Mother Parvati to sit little aside. Finished. That much input you give and the story is over. But this fellow gave long purport to his comment. He said, even a conditioned soul, does such things in a private place. Look at this Shiva. He is the leader of the assembly and he is keeping wife on the lap. Has anybody seen such a thing in this world? Ha ha. You understand, no? So never take a feedback and elaborate it, because by elaborating a negative atmosphere surrounds everything. It's not very good. See, one time I was in this Chopadi temple one time. My spiritual master was giving a lecture. And some two ladies had come. They were sitting. And my spiritual master told both of them at the end of the lecture, Mataji, would you like to give some, comments? Or would you like to say some words of inspiration to all our community members? So one Mataji took the mic and she said, we may come to temple, we may chant the holy name, we may hear thousands of lectures, but unless we chant the holy name purely, Shuddhanam, we cannot attain perfection in life. We may be a famous temple, we may be having a big community, and we may be thinking we are the best, but unless we chant the Shuddhanam, we have really not attained perfection. We may simply be eating prasad, chanting, dancing and going away. So I feel that in this world everybody should work for chanting the holy name purely. Like that she spoke. There was a pin drop silence in the temple hall. Everybody was like that. Nobody spoke anything. Then the another Mataji took the mic. They both were very senior devotees. And she took the mic and said, so all of you devotees of this Chopadi community, I can't tell you how much I am happy today here in your association. Actually, this is the first time I am coming here, seeing the brightly lit faces of all of you, chanting, dancing, preaching. And there are so many young girls here, 4 or 5 of them. They take care of me just like my own daughters. You know, they take care of my prasad, take care of my accommodation, take care of my transport. They are all the time surrounding me, one after another they are serving me. And they are all eager to learn from me. So after coming to this community, I really learned what is the meaning of a Vaishnava. Although for so many years I have been practicing, now I feel I made a great leap advancement in my Krishna consciousness in such a very short time coming here. And honestly, I can tell you, this looks like a Vrindavan for me. And I don't want to leave this place and go. But the most saddest thing for me is tomorrow night I have to take my flight and go. But definitely I can tell all of you, I'm going to leave my heart here and go. So like that she said, chak, 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 chak. Everybody in temple hall was clapping and, everybody was clapping and almost 5 minutes. You know, our managers had to take the mic and tell, hey, all of you stop now, enough now. See, why I told you these two examples. When we utter some sound vibration, it has certain effect in the consciousness of the people around. So what did you observe in these two cases? The first lady did not say anything wrong. She said the right thing, we should chant Shuddhanam. But the devotees felt offended because they felt that she is criticizing our community. And she's telling that we are just eating, dancing and going, you know. We are not serious about our spiritual life. They felt like that. So everybody was like, you know, frozen, you know, afraid also. But then the second lady was speaking from the heart. She was pouring out her heart, you know, welling up with gratitude, thankfulness. And she glorified the devotees. And she sought their association. She said, I'm leaving my heart. So when devotees saw that, everybody felt greatly enthused and appreciated and wanted and, you know, adored. So naturally everybody clapped hands. It just sprang from their hearts. Correct, no? So whenever we all want to do anything in a public assembly, we should make sure it is very positive. We don't create negative vibrations in assembly. People who come, everybody's heart is very tender. So before we can, even if there is some fault in somebody which you want to point out, it should be done in a very cautious and careful manner in a private way. Because our goal is not to ridicule some Vaishnava, but our goal is to help him come out of that problem. If somebody, imagine if somebody is limping and walking like that, you can't laugh at them, say that, hey, look at that fellow limping. No. You have to find out how to help that person. So if our desire is to help him, then we won't ridicule. Correct, no? So therefore, here, see the Bahu Ashobanam means we are talking too much. People who are chatterbox, they have a tendency to elaborate feedbacks. Like if you want to give feedback to somebody, how you should give feedback? First you glorify the person. Prabhu, you are this, you are this, you are this, you have done all these things, you are a wonderful. At the same time, one small input I want to give you, Prabhu. Today morning I saw you a little bit dozing and chanting. Probably you didn't get enough rest in the night. So please take good rest, be healthy and chant well. But at the same time, Prabhu, you know, how can I correct you? Even I doze in my chanting and I am struggling also. You are a very wonderful devotee. I'm sorry in case I offended you by saying this. Like that. So it should be plus, minus, plus. And big plus, small minus, big plus again. So then that person can digest the minus. And then he can modify his behavior. You understand the point? But here what happened? The minus became too much. You know, therefore don't give purport to your feedbacks. Elaborate. Shri Parvati Uvacha. अयम् किमधुना लोके शास्ता दण्डधरः प्रभुः अस्मद्विधानां दुष्टानां निर्लज्जानां च विप्रकृत
द गॉडेस पार्वती सेड अलास हैज दिस अपस्टार्ट नाउ रिसीव्ड a post from which to punish shameless person like us? Has he been appointed ruler carrier of the rod of punishment? Is he now the only master of everything?
Yeah. She's saying, asmat vidhanam dushtanam. It seems that we are criminals and this fellow has been specially posted to rectify the criminals. Nirlajjanam, we don't have any shame. And he has come to restrain us, viprakrit. He is like a disciplining taskmaster. Like that she's saying. Na veda dharmam kila padma yonir. na brahma putra bhrugu naradadyah na vaikumara kapilo manuscha yeno nishedan tyativartinam haram.
Alas, Lord Brahma, who has taken his birth from the lotus flower.
Ya Padma Yonir, Navida Dharma, Kila Padma Yonir, is Brahma not aware of Dharma? She is asking. Na Brahma Putra, or the four Kumaras are sitting in the lecture also. Are they not aware of Dharma? And Bhrigu and Narada Adhyaha means many other sages also. Navai Kumara, Kapilo Manushya, Kapila doesn't know, Manu doesn't know, Kumara Kapila, they all don't know. But yo nishedanti ativartinam haram. So, if they wanted to stop Shiva from keeping me on his lap, they could have stopped. Correct, no? But they haven't stopped. Are they unaware of Dharma? And this fellow, it seems that he is better than all of them put together. And he knows what is Dharma. See, when Matajis want to become angry, my Lord. Nobody can stand. I remember when I was a small kid. See, one kid went from one home to the next home. And then he wanted some toy from the child. And the child was not giving. So he gave a pinch to the child. And that lady became very angry. How can you pinch my child? And then she pinched this boy. And then this boy became little angry. Ooh, he started crying and going to home. Then this lady came. And this lady went to that lady and said, you have pinched my child, you know. I have never pinched your child. How can I do that? She started a big, Rudra Tandav, not Rudra Tandav, Bhadrakali Tandav. She started. And that lady was doing Tandav also. Both of them doing Tandav and fighting. And I saw both these children were, it was a rainy day, they were sitting and sending a paper boat in the water. And they were sitting next to each other, putting hands on their shoulder. Their quarrel was over. But these two ladies, they were fighting almost a couple of hours. I think they must have had some anger other than this incident also. Whatever they wanted to blurt out, they blurted out. Because here Parvati is so angry. Problem is, it's a very comment about the private thing, correct now? Because it appears like indirectly she is also criticized. Because Shiva is being criticized for keeping her on the lap. So she is like very strongly getting on the case. She got very offended. Yeshamanudyaya padabja yugmam jagat gurum mangala mangalam swayam yakshatra bandhu paribhuya surin prashasti drishtasta tad ayam hidandyaha.
This Chitraketu is the lowest of Kshatriyas. For he has impudently overridden Brahma and the other demigods by insulting Lord Shiva.
She is calling him as a Kshatrabandhu, third line if you see. Yakshatrabandhu paribhuya surin. She is telling he is overriding the demigods. Surin means the suras. He is overriding demigods and he is correcting my husband. So he is not a Kshatriya, he is a Kshatrabandhu, she is telling. And she is telling glories of Shiva also. Even Padabja Yugmam. Even great personalities, they worship the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. He is actually personified religion. He is the guru of the entire world. And even the Brahma and other demigods, they all actually are great admirers of Shiva and they worship Shiva. But this fellow has overridden all of them. And he is correcting Shiva as if he is great. So see, one important point to note also is, she has the right to become angry, because when a Vaishnava is insulted, another Vaishnava should not tolerate it. So she is also a Vaishnavi. And Shiva is a husband also, and he is a Vaishnava also. So she has the right to become angry and take an action. And then purport, read the purport.
All the members of the assembly were exalted brahmanas and self-realized souls. But they did not say anything about the conduct of Lord Shiva, who was embracing the goddess Parvati on his lap. Chitraketu nonetheless criticized Lord Shiva, and therefore the opinion of Parvati was that he should be punished.
Nayamarhati vaikuntha padamulopasarpanam संभावितमति स्तब्धः साधुभिः परिउपासितम्।
This person is puffed up because of his achievements, thinking, I am the best. He does not deserve to approach the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, which are worshipped by all saintly persons, for he is impudent, thinking himself greatly important.
Yeah, this is actually in English called as self-righteous behavior. Self-righteousness means what? I am great, everybody else is useless. They are small. I am the best. So this kind of attitude is called self-righteous. So people who are self-righteous, they have a condescending behavior. Condescending means what? They bring others down by belittling them. This type of behavior. And where do they get the strength from to belittle others and be condescending? That comes from the self-righteous audacity or pride. That's very, very dangerous. That it's actually in Sanskrit it is called as Atmano Bhakti Darpataha. My bhakti is best bhakti. This actually comes in neophyte stage. Many times devotees, you know, when they look into the mirror, they wear a tilak and say, think, oh, I look like a beautiful Vaishnava. No, I am a Amala Tilak Dhari. Look at me. Oh, if I wear a dhoti and kurta and wear tilak, I look like a pure devotee. So if anybody thinks like this, that proves that they are neophyte devotees. Because pure devotee never thinks I am pure devotee. They consider themselves very fallen and insignificant. But in Kanishtha Adhikari stage, we think I am the best devotee. So that's what she is telling. This person is puffed up. Sambhavita matihi. And she is saying, stabdaha is impudent. So actually Vaikuntha Padam is not for everybody. Even in Bible it is said, the kingdom of God is achieved only by those who are meek and humble. So the statement is, only the meek and humble can inherit the kingdom of God. So in Jerusalem, there is one Eye of the Needle gate. It's a small gate. So when people come in a caravan, you know, when they come in the camels, you know, so they have to get down from the camel and they have to put their backpack and everything into the hole. And they have to completely kneel down and practically, you know, like Dandavat we do, Ashtanga Pranam, like that you have to go inside that. And they have to put the camel also like that. Then only you can go inside, Eye of the Needle Gate. Similarly, going into the kingdom of God means we have to become actually humble. A proud person cannot go like that, she says. Nayam marhati vaikuntha, pada moolopasarpanam. The shelter of Vishnu is not for such proud people like this. Actually, the first quality Krishna says, in knowledge is amanitvam. Man, one should not be proud. Adambitvam, one should not have damba. See, what is the difference between damba and man? Man means you possess some qualities for which you are very proud. Damba means we have no qualities, still we are proud. We imagine that I have it. So both should be given up. So again, Prabhupada quotes another Pishanichana is quoting again. Atapapi yasim yonim. Asirim yahi durmate yateha bhuyo mahatam nakarta putra kilbisham.
O impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons so that you will not commit such an offense again towards exalted, saintly person in this world.
Yeah. She is using the word putra. See, putra Krishna. Oh, my dear son, she is saying. Although she is chastising, she is also calling him as? So then she is in the mood of a mother, chastising a son. That's what Prabhupada says later on also about it. She is telling, my dear son, take birth in a low, sinful family of demons so that you will not commit such offenses again towards the exalted saintly persons. Either she is saying. Elsewhere Prabhupada says, Durga Mata actually is the person who carries the trishul, with which Adhyatmika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika. She pierces the chest of all living entities. So, we can also understand, we are also like her sons. Our body comes from Shiva and Parvati, material body. And our spirit soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. So, this body she only gives us and she punishes us for such attitudes like this. Like she is punishing
Chitraketu. Read the purport.
Purport. One should be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, of whom Lord Shiva is the best. While instructing...
And then Robert talks about Hatimata Aparad, mad elephant offense. And next paragraph you read. And then at the end of that, the first paragraph Prabhupada says, one should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses. See, the Vaishnava Aparad is compared to an elephant offense. Elephant means what? Elephant enters the garden, it will uproot all the flower plants. It will just walk over it with foot. Everything will be finished. So in the same manner, if a Vaishnava offends other Vaishnava, there is one verse you all can repeat. Ayushriyam Yashodharmam Lokan Ashisha Evacha Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani Pumso Ati Mahat Pumso Mahat Atikramaha. See, Pumso, if a person Mahad Atikrama offends a great Mahat Mahatma, then what happens? Are you? His life duration is reduced. Ayu Shriyam. All his opulences, Yasha, the fame that he accumulated, Dharmam, the religiosity that he performed till then, Lokan Ashish, all the blessings that he received, Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani. Everything is destroyed, he says. Just like elephant entering into your garden and finishing off everything. So, Pumso Mahat Atikrama. So, Shiva is certainly a Mahat. And unnecessarily, Chitraketu got into trouble by offending him. So therefore she is saying such strong words. Yeah. Read the second para. Mother Parvati.
Mother Parvati was justified in punishing Chitraketu, for Chitraketu impudently criticized the Supreme Father, Mahadev, who is the father of living entities conditioned within this material world. The goddess Durga is called Mother, and Lord Shiva is called Father. A pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others.
Please repeat this statement. A pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. See, every one of you sitting here, we all have our specific duty given by Guru. Correct, no? There are so many people who criticize ISKCON in general. Then there are people who criticize other fellow devotees, equal devotees, or junior devotees, or senior devotees. There are devotees who criticize the management, administration. So the first question we have to ask them, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you. It is said, somebody is feeding you prasad, don't bite their hand. Similarly, it's ISKCON which is offering you shelter. It's the devotees because of whom you are what you are. So if you are criticizing them, then one day will come and you will not be with devotees. You will be gone, away from their association. And in case you find some fault, you find how you can help to rectify it. If somebody says, you know, Prabhu, our temple is not very clean, then you become HOD of cleaning department. Then you clean everything. Prabhu, in our temple, you know, it's so silent in the evening, nobody is doing kirtan. Okay, you come and do kirtan. If you have some criticism, do it. Do the service and compensate for it. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying, a pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in a specific. Do your own duty. Mind your own business. And don't look around here and there and criticizing others. Don't gossip. And don't invite trouble. This thing. And then Prabhupada says below, the next para, fourth line. As soon as there is a small discrepancy in a demon's behavior, Mother Durga immediately punishes the demon so that he may come to his senses. Like that he says. And then after that, Devi Hesha Gunamai Prabhupada quotes, after 5-6 lines there. Therefore, Mother Parvati spoke to Chitraketu exactly like a mother who says to her naughty child, my dear child, I am punishing you so that you won't do anything like this again. This tendency of a mother to punish her child is so found even in Mother Yashoda Prabhupada says. Mother Yashoda punishing Krishna also, he says. So, Sri Shuka Bhavacha Yevam Shaptas Chitraketu Vimanat avaruhyasaha prasadayamasa satim murdna namrena bharata.
Sri Shukdev Goswami continued, my dear King Parikshit, When Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, he descended from his aeroplane, bowed before her with great humility and pleased her completely.
Yeah. See, the behavior of Chitraketu is going to come now in the subsequent verses. He says here, when Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, he descended from his plane and he bowed to her with great humility and pleased her completely. So, every Vaishnava should try to please the Vaishnava who has become offended. If somebody has become offended, whatever it takes to, first of all, pacify them. You bow down to them, fold your palms, talk some proper words to them, beg them for pardon and compensate for mistake then in such a manner that finally the Vaishnava should say, no, I don't take any more offense. Now I am peaceful now. Because the devotee's behavior has changed my perception about the devotee. So how he did that more elaborately, we will discuss in the next lecture. Next Krishna Rasayanam, when we come, we can finish this chapter. There are 41 verses in this chapter. Generally in one class we can finish 22, 25 verses max. So therefore I didn't rush through. Chitraketu's speech towards Parvati is also important. And most important is Shiva speaking to Parvati. So we can't do full justice in a short class like this. So we will do that in the next section. And I think we will finish this chapter fully in the next section. Very, very vital lessons for Vaishnava lifestyle will come. Just like today, I believe many of you must have appreciated some of the deep lessons which we learned from Chitraketu's behavior towards Shiva. And you can't rush through this. It's such a very vital thing because these are all subtle behaviors. Like for example, if you are sitting in a class, say a devotee is giving Bhagavatam class. After the Bhagavatam class, devotee asks, anybody want to give any comments? You should not start giving one more class. When they ask comment, one of the first things you do in commenting is praise the devotee. So you gave such a wonderful class. I like these points, 1, 2, 3. And I'm taking home this nice message. Thank you very much. And I had one more additional small point to add to this. And you can add at that point. That is appropriate. And it shouldn't be too long because people already feel it's getting late. And then you start giving another class for half an hour. People get fed up with you. You know, why this fellow opened the forum for comments? You know? We have to hear two classes, they will think. So therefore, these are all etiquettes in sabha. Sabha etiquettes. When you are in assembly, how? Like I saw sometimes in one temple, after giving lecture, any questions he asked. So one fellow in the audience asked a controversial question. And then when the Prabhuji started answering, he said, no, it's not like that. I know the exact answer. I will tell you. And he started telling answer. And they both were back and forth going. This fellow was saying one thing. He was saying it was becoming heated up. Everybody felt that, you know, the Bhagavatam class was like so soothing. Finally, these fellows are fighting tooth and nail. And everybody got up and walked out. And I found out I was the only one there. And these two fellows are friends. So I also got up and walked out after that. Does it look good? Nobody likes it. So the Bhagavatam class is not for quarreling like that. Even if there are some differences, or in case you want to polish what that fellow spoke, there is a proper etiquette in which it should be done. Go and meet him personally and say that. One time, my special master was sitting in the temple hall. One speaker, when he is so told about this Shaktyavesh avatar, you know. See, some Shaktyavesh avatars are Sakshat, some are Avesh. Do you know that? Avesh means a Jiva sometimes can get the Avesh like Nakula Brahmachari. He's a Jiva actually, get Avesh. But Sakshat means what? Directly the Lord. Lord's Amshas, they're also there. So sometimes in such technical details, one preacher committed a mistake. But Maharaj was sitting there, he didn't say anything. Later on when we met him personally, one devotee asked Maharaj, Maharaj, today morning in his Bhagavatam class, he said the wrong thing, like he said, one avatar was Avesh avatar, he said, actually it is Sakshat. Maharaj said, that was a technical detail. It is not that by that mistake, you know, you cannot go back to Godhead or something. You know, it's a small detail. You don't have to make a big fuss about it. And you can always tell him privately. So he also will not feel hurt. So these are all behavioral etiquettes which we learn from Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is oceanic actually. There is so many. Depending on our limited ability, we can fly like a small bird in the sky while explaining Bhagavatam. Next class when you come, I am going to explain one very important thing. Difference between clarification and justification.